Blog Talk Radio. Breaking news.
Ushering in a new era.
War of the Words, Relentless Radio number 113. I can't believe that we've done 113 episodes, man. Apparently that means that MMA is alive and well and amazing down here in the South, man, and we have proof of that today. We're going to be sitting down with Devin Richman, coming off of a spectacular win over Howard Washington. I can't remember the conflict off the top of my head. It was the one that was in April, but he's going to be fighting April 29th, or July, Conflict 29 on July 25th, get all my numbers in a row here, once again, and I'm very excited about that, because if you guys were at that conflict, I believe it was at the Main Event Fitness Center, maybe two cards ago, I'm sure he can probably tell us in a minute. Man, this was like just an incredible war between two dudes who put everything they had in there, a ton of heart, and enough striking for probably three or four fights. I mean, it was really, really awesome. I highly recommend you get a hold of that video. I don't know if it's out there on the Conflict channel on YouTube, but if so, check that out, man. It's going to be radical. So we got a couple things to do before we officially kick into this Devin Richman interview, man. And one of those things I wanted to talk about was Sore Summer Fight Store. You can type in ssfightstore.com. If you're on the book face like everybody else, just type in Sore Summer Fight Store. Make sure to check these guys out. Of course, fans, check them out, man, because they house a lot of shirts of a lot of your favorite fighters around the way. But you fighters out there, man, especially AMI guys, who are looking for a great place to help you get your banners together or get a good quality banner, especially things like logos, having unique shirts and things like that, man. These guys smash out the park. They have amazing deals for everybody. They have a lot of consideration for each individual, and I think they just do a smashing job. They just, you know, it's kind of one of those situations that prove you know, that it's not all about the money. So make sure to check those guys out, man, especially if you're fighting. And looks like we've got the man himself, Nate Bowman, on the line, another one of our fam at War of the Words. What's up, brother?
Hey, man, how you doing?
I am doing amazing, man. You have been traveling, if I recall. Are you back yet? How's it been?
No, I'm in the great state of Delaware right now.
It reminds me of Wayne's World, like Delaware. We're in Delaware.
It goes over to some cheesy. Yeah, it goes over to some cheesy screen of like a huge map or something like that. You know, called, like what they're famous for on there.
Oh, so good, man. That's awesome. I'm glad. Thank you for taking time on your epic quest to talk with us on one today.
Yeah, no,
what
man,
are you
how
doing? I mean, is that like a Is it like a personal thing I can't ask, or is it cool? Like, what are you doing in Delaware?
I am up here on some refresher training, or some continuing training for victim advocacy for something I do for the military.
Ah, that is phenomenal. You know, that's one of the things I like about you is that, you know, there's people that get into the MMA stuff, and they, you know, their backgrounds are maybe not necessarily all too related. Like, I almost can't think of a person who more directly applies the things they do to the stuff they do in MMA than Nate Bowman. I think that's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
No doubt, man. All right, so this big thing on my mind today, and this has just been because some things I wrote today, and I saw an exciting promo video. You know me, I'm very excitable. I got new glasses, so I'm seeing things clear.
Oh, yeah,
UFC 188, man. Thank you, man. I, I let Jeanette pick them out because I figured she would be looking at me more than I would be looking at me. So it was a win-win.
That's probably the smartest thing you've done all day.
I feel like it may be the winner smart move of the year 2015. So, you know, I know you're obviously a fan of MMA. You're very involved. We've got this awesome fight between essentially two champs. So we've got an interim champ and we've got the standing champ, Cain Velasquez. This fight, there's, as always, I mean, it's a freaking UFC fight. So, you know, everybody's talking like crazy. I'm not acting like, oh my God, you know, this is some, but I mean, there is something spicy about it. You got to admit. And it's not every day we get the whole interim champ comes in and fights the standing champ. And I think historically, last time I looked at the numbers, it might have changed, you know, but usually this longtime standing champ seems to kind of override the interim champ. So I just wanted to ask you, what were your thoughts going into UFC 188 coming up, man? Because I know you got an eye for it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm glad to see Cain Velasquez back. I mean, he's one of those heavyweights that he has that stamina. It's not like your typical heavyweight. You know, he can keep pushing the fight the whole time, brings pressure all the time. He does decent standing. He has great wrestling. And, you know, if he's coming back at 100%, he's going to bring that again, and that's going to be very tough for anybody to handle. But Fabricio Verdum has done very well with his stand-up. He's really evolved. He's, for a long time, just known as that jiu-jitsu, you know, submission specialist, and he's really evolved in that arena. You know, we've seen it the last couple of fights, you know, Mark Hunt and who was it right before then? Was it Travis Brown? You know, he's really bringing the leather to him, so.
I think so too, man. You know, like there's like two factors in this for me that make it interesting. Otherwise, I would just be like, man, Cain is about to smash Fabricio. But number one is the evolution of his striking and the tightening, maybe the tuning up, however you want to refer to that. That's the first part. And then the second part is one time Junior Dos Santos like totally flattened Cain Velasquez with a punch. So even though it was just that one time, when I add these two together, that's what brings me to this, like, well, you know, I don't know. I feel like Cain could get it, but I don't know. It's funny because usually you would think we'd be talking about, oh, man, well, Cain's a wrestler. He's going to take him down. If he takes him down, then he's got to really worry about, you know, Verdum's, like, you know, very decorated pass on the mat. But instead I find myself thinking, like, well, this fight seems like it's Cain's if Fabricio doesn't land some good hands, which I think is interesting.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. You know, if they're ground and pound and their jiu-jitsu is going to cancel each other out, so who's going to have the better stand up? You know, they both come from good camps. They both have evolved in that atmosphere. I was just watching something not that long ago on Cain Velasquez. You know, boxing is real tight. I was in. He looked really smooth, but the question is, I think honestly, it's going to be the pressure of the fight. And Cain Velasquez comes the whole time. He keeps coming, he keeps coming, keeps coming. And you know, these bigger guys don't seem to be able to handle that kind of constant, grind for, you know, especially if he goes for 25 minutes, who's going to be able to last? And I think that's where Cain Velasquez really has the edge.
I would agree there completely. They both, I think it's kind of interesting that, like, each guy has only been knocked out one time. They both have a pretty significant amount of knockouts, although, you know, Cain's is like almost all of his. Or much greater majority than Fabricio's. I think his is about 6 or 7. But I could agree with that. I think it's going to be fantastic, man. And I appreciate you coming on talking to us about that. I'm very excited about UFC 188. And also, I wanted to give a minute because, you know, you're very involved in what we do, not just in conflict, but around, you know, you've got some great things going on. So let them know where they can discover some of this.
Well, you know, I'm still doing Cutmedic, and right now I've only been doing our conflict stuff. I look to evolve, but I've actually, you know, have been very fortunate to work with one of your former cohorts there, and David Maldonado, and he has let me come out there for, you know, legacy fights and that RFA legacy matchup. But you know, I'm just keep working my skill, keep trying to evolve and get better, so I can take care of these fighters, give them another round, and keep moving on.
I think that's fantastic, man. So you guys make sure if you're on the book face to type that in and check them out. And, of course, all you fighters out there listening in, including Devin, who's on the line here, know that you are going to be in fantastic hands come fight night, man. And it's just part of the professionalism and everything that conflict is about and brings to the table, man. And I want to thank you not just for coming on the show today, but also, you know, for all the stuff that you do, especially when we hit this fight night. And you keep these good nights flowing, man. It's like you're kind of like the drummer of a band, you know. It's like you do so much, but you may not always get the play, you know. And so I just want to shine that light on you a little bit, man. And we very much appreciate that. You're the Dave Grohl, brother. You're gonna get to the front. Don't worry.
I'm the Dave Grohl, and not like the continued drummer of Spinal Tap, you know, where they keep trying to find new ones. It'll be good.
Yeah. You'll be Dave Grohl. Like, I don't want to go too dark with my joking, but I think of a lot of great jokes I could make right now about how you could get to the front of the band. But,
right.
Oh, man, Nate, man, I appreciate it, man. Enjoy all the wonderful things Delaware has to not offer you. And I'm sure we'll catch up with you again, as we love to do on the show, brother.
Thanks, buddy. I always appreciate you having me.
All right, man. Take it easy. Again, man, that's Cut Medic. You can check that out. Type it in on Facebook, man. Wonderful. A lot of you fighters already know him. Speaking of fighters, we're going to jump right on in to this interview with Devin Richman. I've got to take about a 30-second break, so I'm going to hit you with about 30 seconds of some music, and I will be right back with Devin Richman.
Way meaner, something like Serena mixed with Trina. Have you seen her? She fine enough to be Miss Howard. Word to Adina, my money like a thing.
All right, man, we're back. I just realized I had the volume super low on the song, so my bad. Y'all didn't even get a chance to bump while I was gone. But we're back. We're going to jump right into talking to Devin, man. I want to keep this initial conversation flowing, and then we're going to jump right into this Conflict 29 stuff. Devin, you're on the line, my friend, man. What's good today or tonight?
Good. Everything's good. Just got done training.
That is fantastic. You getting all your getting your body back in alignment, that post-training goodness, getting ready for tomorrow?
Oh, yes. I'm all rested up and everything. I'm ready to go.
That's awesome, man. You know, I love these fighters who stay ready and stay in the gym, you know, win, lose, or draw. And we're going to get to that. You know, I'm sure you heard us talking about UFC 188, man. We were talking a little bit about this Cain Velasquez,
yeah.
Fabricio Werdum. Man, tell me a little bit about your thoughts, man. You heard us talking, so go ahead. I'd like to hear what you think on it.
But Fabricio Werdum is going to get smashed. There's no way around it. I've been arguing with this with people at my camp. They were talking, Fabricio, listen. He submitted Fedor. Fedor was on his way out. Come on now.
Yes,
Mark Hunt, I give him that one. Yeah, he put him out. But Cain, he's just a completely different animal. He's fighting in the fifth round, the same thing as the first round. And he's just going to keep coming. And I don't think he's going to be able to last.
That's my thing. I feel the same way. Like, he's got to, like, get past so, like, you know, for me, like, Werdum has got to do so much so fast, or else it's going to, every second it slips away.
Mm-hmm. And you see the fight with, you fought with this, the last two fights with JDS, he took something from him. Like, he was never the same. After them fights, he wasn't the same. Like, he was going to end his career that second fight.
JDS almost went on, like, permanent semi-retirement after that. Like, he's never been even kind of like the fire that was beforehand. Cain threw a lot of water on that fire. I got, for no doubt.
You saw his last fight, which he barely won. He barely won. It could have went either way.
Yes. No. Yeah. There's no question about that. And I kind of felt like, maybe that Werdum's newfound striking may actually end up being his demise, in that the confidence there will keep him on the feet.
Yes.
And I think that he'll get smashed there hard.
Yes. He's going to get smashed there hard. Then he's going to get picked up and slammed, punched in the ground. Then he's going to let him back up, pick him up, and slam him again. And that's how the fight's going to go. I'm just saying, I give it a 35% chance he might submit him.
Yeah, Kane's never really – now, listen. Yeah, man. I mean, I don't have Kane's numbers in front of me, man, but I can't remember too many times that that somebody had him in, like, a oh-shit position, excuse my Spanish, on the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't remember, like, oh, my God, is he going to get out of here situation. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I definitely don't remember it, and I'm pretty good with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's because you see how he is. Also, his body, he's short. He's not short, but I'm saying he's big and he's stocky and he barely has a neck. So it's gonna be hard.
Which is good. That helps.
Yeah, that helps out a lot.
No neck. The less neck you got, the more BJJ you should be training.
Exactly. I'm trying to do the same thing too. I'm trying to get those shoulders struggling and try to get my neck thick.
I got to figure out the training program to shorten my neck. I need the neck shortening program. Swell everything else up? Everything around it gets swole, so you hide the neck.
But on the real side, though, I remember one time it was Frank Trigg. He was talking. He was when he fought Matt Hughes. He said he had his completely neck, and he was choking him. Right on there, he said he couldn't feel nothing. It was like a cement block. He was choking. So when you get a neck that strong, it's pretty hard to choke them.
I'm telling you. Listen, I don't know. I don't know if I would take any advice from Frank Trigg about rear naked chokes. I'm just saying. I mean, dang.
You got caught. This is two or three times in a row.
Oh, my goodness. Remember, like 11 times in his career.
I remember Matt Hughes did it. George St. Pierre did it. I think.
Oh, my goodness. I remember Matt Hughes before their fight being like, he was like, who gets submitted with a rear naked choke in a pro fight? Come on, man.
Standing.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Frank Trigg. What a guy. He's like the bad bass root, boss rooting. Oh, and with the worst MMA name, too. I mean, there's no threat in that right there. Right now, you could be like, hey, you fight Twinkle Toes tomorrow night. I'd be like, game on. I ain't trained ever. Let's do this.
Do you know where he got that name from?
No, man. I'm about to, though, because you're going to tell me.
He got it from when he was fighting in Japan. And some Japanese guy said, oh, I like the guy with the Twinkly Toes because he painted his toenails.
Oh,
so that's
Twinkle Toes. Well, I was wrong about the way I thought he got it, but I feel like all my assumptions were half right. I'm with that. I don't know, because I imagine. Here's the thing, man. Twinkle Toes says to me that your toenails were not painted black.
They weren't painted black. I can't remember what color they were. They were blue or they were pink. I remember Chuck Liddell, he liked to paint his toenails pink. I remember that. But
yes.
I think they were blue or sparkly. They were sparkly.
Listen,
they had to be twinkle.
Bro, listen, Chuck Liddell could wear a dress, and I ain't nothing. But I'll challenge Frank Trigg on his twinkly feet. Chuck would come out with blush on, and I'd be like, hello, Mr. Liddell.
Hey, did you see the Entourage series when he was in the cage? He's like, we either throw down or we get down.
Heck yeah, dude. Listen, I'm with that. All love out to Frank Trigg, man. I love you, Frank. You're great. You're a great guy.
Yeah.
You gave me a lot of good time. You made me like Matt Hughes. I don't even know if I could like Matt Hughes if it weren't for Frank Trigg, actually. So props.
Very true.
So, man, speaking of wars and battles and stuff, The last time I saw you, you were in one hell of an awesome fight, man. I mean, it blew it out the water. I can't remember if it won fight of the night. If not, I don't know how it didn't. Somebody must have did some serious work. You and Howard Washington, man, walk us through a little bit of that fight, how it was for you, and then also how you feel about it in reflection, man. Because it was, I mean, to me, it was a one-of-a-kind thing.
I gotta start off from, like, backstage, like, getting ready. I was remembering, like, all these fights that dropped out on me, like, the first one where the guy got hurt. I was like, man, I can't fight now. Then I drove all the way up there to South Carolina, and then the guy just didn't show up. I was like, man, what's going on? Another thing happened. I was supposed to fight, what's his name? Because I remember he fought the last conflict event, and he got knocked out. I think it was Isaac. Ooh. Some guy. I was supposed to fight Isaac. That's what I was supposed to fight. Yeah. But the thing was, it was a miscommunication. I was supposed to fight the last conflict. And then they was like, oh, well, we're just going to switch it on. We're going to get Howard. I was like, okay, I'm going to get Howard. He was like, okay, we're training. And then we finally get to the conflict. So I'm like, oh, man, this is a big show, man. What's going to happen? And like, okay, Devin, you're up. So I'm standing there. I'm waiting, like, where's my music? I'm like, where's my music? There's no music playing. I remember I gave him the CD. What's going on? So I'm walking out there. No music playing. Then I finally got there. And the weirdest thing happened. The commissioner's like, oh, you're going to have to cut his toenails.
That is awesome. And they were like, stall him while we put the CD in. Just anything you can think of while we get his music right. That's
and
awesome,
the thing was
man.
Right,
That's a first.
It was right there on the table. It even had my
they
name on it.
It was like, yo, man, I seen Devin's feet when he walked in here, so just get him before he comes. I seen him yesterday at weigh-ins, man. He was in sandals. Nah, I'm going to bring some. I'm going to bring something to the show. That's awesome.
So I was like, the guy was like, well, I'm not about to cut his toenails now. Come on. Coach was like, okay.
That would have been awesome. You will cut these toenails. It is your job. That would have been so hard. Hey, bro, you better cut them toenails, cuz. I'm trying to fight. I would have went so hard on it, dude.
I cut my toenails. I got in the ring. And it was just an adrenaline rush. Like, I saw, and then I got hyped, matter of fact, when they started playing his music, and they started chanting, and I started smiling. I was like, okay, here we go. So when
it's
we
about
play,
to get real. At least you got some music. See, that's good. His music got you hyped, so at least you still got to have some music fuel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, really, all that hype, it just calmed me down. So the bell rung. We started. I was like, okay, what am I doing? Okay. All right, straight jab. I threw my jab. I hit him. Came back. He was throwing back. Then I saw I don't know what it was. Like, I saw him, like, when I hit him, he went. It's like, oh, I got him hurt. I came to overhand right, like you saw, and then he slipped. They said it was a slip, but I think I caught him.
Yeah, I think I said that you caught him on the commentator. I think I remember. It was at Yellow Mat, if I remember.
Yeah. I don't think it was a slip. It was it was a straight jab. Like he was leading in to catch me with an uppercut, and I hit him with a straight right, and then he dropped. So anyway, I knocked him off balance or I dropped him. It doesn't matter. It's under the bridge.
Dude fell down for sure. That's what we do, though.
Yeah, we always throw down. But
keep going. Nah, man, keep telling the story.
Well, when the bell rung, I calmed down mostly. I saw Coach like, okay, you need to pick. He's getting tired. Hit him to the body. So I started hitting him to the body. He put his hands up, hit him to the body again. And I caught with that 1-2 when his mouthpiece flew out. I remember Blake was like, if you spit your mouthpiece out, we're going to put it back in. So I got to jump on him. And that's how the fight ended.
Man, you know, one of the things I remember about this fight was, were you surprised at, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody because, listen, it takes two people to tango, and this fight was really, really great. And I thought Howard had some great counter moves. I thought he did a pretty good job with his blocking and stuff. No doubt. So I'm not trying to hate on anybody. But I do want to ask, were you surprised that he was able to take that much before you were able to end the fight? Because, I mean, it was wild, dude, to me.
Yes. I was hitting him, and I was like, is it hurting him? It was hurt I was hitting him, and I felt the punches were heavy, but he didn't show no emotion. So I was wondering, until I watched the fight, and I was like, okay, I did hurt him. But in the fight, you don't really feel anything. Like, I'm not no disrespect towards him. Like, when he hit me, I didn't feel anything. It was until backstage when we got there, I felt something swelling. And I remember my right hand, my right arm, it was swollen. I was like, "Coach, did he kick me?"
Man, yeah, you know, that's usually when it comes up. Man, I got to tell you, again, I can't stress enough. I mean, this was like, I don't know what you were expecting, but I don't think any of us were ready for that barn burner. Like, just, I mean, man, I gotta imagine that for your debut, it's gotta be pretty awesome to have as a first fight tape or first video of yourself fighting. Because, I mean, I don't see how you could show that to any person and not be like excited to watch it, because it was a throwdown. It was a good fight, man.
The biggest surprise I ever had was when they told me I was fighting Howard Washington. So I was guessing the kid was going to be black. Next thing I looked over the side. So this is true. You can ask Howard this.
So bad.
I was talking to him on Facebook. I was like, I saw this big Asian kid come out. I was like, dude, he's going to kick me in the head.
You're like, oh man, fuck. Like, oh man. Yeah, I think his coach looks like Miyagi. Like, man, I'm in so much trouble. He probably had the opposite reaction. He probably was like, Devin Richmond. Oh, boy, that boy rides sailboats. He's white as hell. Oh, I'm going to kick his ass. Devin, I got him. Hey, y'all both was messed up. He was like, oh, both of y'all was like, oh, shit. Howard had the same thing. He was like, he's black? Crap! Those dudes can fight. Oh, man. That's awesome, dude.
I was wrong for that because I did the same thing. Because when I first got to the Rodriguez MMA, there was a Korean guy there. His name was Joseph. So I was thinking he's just karate specialist. So Coach Wait, okay, going to do.
Hold on. Did you say there's a Korean guy named Joseph?
I thought he was the Korean. I thought he was just some karate player.
Joseph the Korean. That's awesome.
I thought he was karate. He's like, all of a sudden he started doing his little karate. And the next thing you know, he shoots them. I'm like, whoa. It's like, yeah, man, I'm a wrestler.
Yeah, that's what you get, man. I'm just going to think the opposite about everybody from now on when I fight. He's going to walk out. He's going to be Japanese. I'm going to be like, oh, hell yeah, this guy's all-American wrestler, Naga. I got this.
He's a wrestler.
Joseph the Korean. I'm going to find him and have him on the show. That's great, dude. Oh, so good.
I believe he fought for Conflict before, a long time ago.
That's great, man. I gotta find this, man. Tell me a little bit about the fight camp that you fight out of, because I know they were out there and we really came in and they were like very, very excited about this W and stuff. I got to interview you in the cage afterwards, and so tell us a little bit about that, man. So it seemed like
it was really like the way I came when I first got there. I was intimidated because a lot of those guys just looking like this look like little monsters in there. First thing it was like, okay, well, like, we don't want, okay, we'll get them wrapped up and we're gonna do some boxing. Like, and this, I think somebody said, oh, we're gonna let him go with Aldi. Like, oh, we don't want him going with Aldi. We don't want him going with Aldi.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
The first thing, really, so I was intimidated. So when we had to spar, so I was like, oh, shit, let me swing and hit them before they hit me. The other first thing I had to learn was how to self-control. Because they'll say, oh, you're throwing
hard.
Oh,
yeah,
what are you talking about? I'm not throwing hard. You're throwing hard.
So yeah, listen, man, these three people
so
on the ground are unconscious.
I was getting my ass kicked a lot because I didn't have self-control. Because, you know, nobody's going to sit there and let you hit them.
Yes, it is very difficult, man. My introduction to martial arts when I was younger was because my dad used to call it the Reds, where, like, I would get in a fight situation, I'd just get crazy. So I was throwing these wild, like, Vanderlei Silva,
yeah.
I am not a sexist person, but all my punches look like how girls throw baseballs. I'm not even going to
exactly.
lie. It's just a close comparison. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just trying to make a fair comparison of what it was like. And so, you know,
yeah.
I can agree. Now, it takes a minute to get that pulled out of you to where you can think while someone – it's not easy to think and be like, okay, cool, when someone's trying to punch you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Most times.
It's the same thing. It transfers to jiu-jitsu, too. You don't try to grab the guy with no technique and just all that stuff. It takes some time.
Oh, yeah, heck yeah. I actually make that actual sound when I roll these. I do a lot of that when I get down, man. That's great, man. Here's another thing that I got to think about, too. All right, so you come to the show. Obviously, I've been with Conflict a long time, man. To me, they're one of the most, like, legit and put in good work and good quality shows around the Southeast,
yes,
for me,
yes,
in my opinion. I work with several. They really do it. You definitely don't show up. You definitely don't show up like in an airplane hangar and there's like 80 people in some lawn chairs or none of that kind of stuff, or, you know, things that are kind of semi-typical of some local things, or it's not like in a big-ass smoky bar necessarily. You know, it's like, it's a show. It's definitely a show. And the people that come are oftentimes even more of professional than the building that they have the event in. So, you know, when you're looking around, there's like people are there to fulfill these dreams. They're not playing. And I think that fuels a lot of it, man. And I think that everybody kind of gets one another hyped up. But the question I have, I'm rambling, but the question I actually have is to have a fight like you had in your debut, do you feel any pressure to, like, live up to that again, or is it more of like a confidence builder for you based on what happened the first time? Or how do you take that? What did you pull away from that debut?
It's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both. I think that I still got stuff to work on, and I feel like it gave me a lot of confidence that I could actually do it. So that's all I have to say about that.
I'm going to bust a Forrest Gump on this question here. I feel you, man. I look at it and I think, you know, when I saw your name on the card, and I'm assuming a lot of other people, especially the Conflict fans, you know, they were excited to see that. And when they saw you were fighting David, I know he won an exciting fight at the last Conflict show.
I think his fight was fight of the night. That's what I think.
It was good, man. It was a good fight. Good kicks.
I was in the back jumping out of my seat like, oh, my God. When he threw that high kick,
yeah,
I thought the fight was over.
Oh, man. Dude, I'm telling you, it was a beautiful thing. And this is what I think about it, too. So I take that fight, and then I take your fight, and I take out Howard Washington, and I take out – I can't remember the guy's name. I'm sorry, brother. And then I put these two people together, and I think, holy crap, this is going to be another one of these potential fight of the night battles. And for people who love striking and love people that just pour it all into the cage, I think that this fight, it just screams that, man, to me when I look at it. And I hope that you are excited for a similar experience, because I don't know which other way it could go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember I was originally scheduled to fight Chris Davis, and a funny story is like after the fight and like we all went home and stuff, me and him was messaging each other on Facebook and we was talking, and And then I remember like a few days, like a month ago, he wrote me on Facebook. He was like, "Hey man, you should come down to fight. You should come down to fight in Conflict. I'm fighting in July." I was like, "Okay, yeah, I probably will be there." Next thing, like a few days later, my coach was like, "Yeah man, we're gonna have a fight for you." So I messaged him. I was like, "Yeah man, I'm gonna be there. I got a fight coming up. I don't care. I don't know who it is, but it's about to go down." Then I was like, "Okay, we're fighting a guy named CJ Davis." I'm like, "CJ Davis? That sounds kind of familiar." Yeah, so right after that, I was like, "You don't happen to know a guy named CJ Davis?" And then he wrote me back, like, "Yeah, that's me. Why?" I was like, I was like, "I had nothing."
Yeah, oh man, I just had got this message. I appreciate it. Yeah. But, man, how about that? That would have been something. That would have been something
very,
right there.
That was very awkward. Then I wrote him back. I was like, "Yeah, we might be fighting. I don't know. But we got I don't know. Because we were thinking about going with David Langston before that."
You could have totally been like, "Hey, man, look, so we're still going to get to hang out, but it's going to be under a little bit different circumstances than we may have thought at the beginning." So,
yeah.
That's pretty cool, man. I like the stories, man. You know, that's always a thing that – it's the whole reason that I really do this show is like when I first started doing the show, I did nothing but interview – you know, UFC level guys and stuff, which I do sometimes still because I'm kind of friends with some of them, but it's more on that.
Yeah,
you know, but yeah,
I'm excited to meet Andre Arlovski.
Oh, me too, dude. I'm super excited. You know what? I was so excited, and I knew that he, like, you know, likes Conflict and stuff, and I was like, man, you know, he might, you know, start listening to the show because he's excited about. He actually knows some of the people fighting and this and that. And then I had this weird thought that I never thought in my life, where I was like, man, have I ever talked shit about Andre Arlovski on my radio show?
Dude, man, what if Frank Trick?
Oh my god! I'm not gonna lie. I would just jump on his back as soon as I saw him and just ask him if he heard about the show later. I mean, listen, bro, I'm sorry, I had to rear naked choke you. I knew that was my weakness.
You gotta plan it out.
Yeah,
I'm gonna distract him. You jump on his back.
That's exactly it. I played this video game. It's your weak spot. It's like you'll play Legend of Zelda and you got to get the shield move before you can hit him with an arrow. That's how you do Frank. You got, like, special moves. Hit him from the backside where he's weak. So you gotta, yeah. Watch out, though. He may kick you in the wang in an attempt to actually get a rear naked on you. So be careful. If I remember, that's how that story went. I can't remember completely. I think, yeah, he kicked Matt Hughes in the second fight. He almost got a rear naked choke off of that, if I remember.
Yeah.
Been a long time since I've seen it. I think I remember that, though, because the ref didn't see it, and Frank was like, "Oh, I'm about it."
Mm.
I mean, he's got to be a master. It's got to suck. That's got to suck. Like, I don't know how I would feel if I lost, like, 11 fights the same way. Like, it's one thing to get submitted 11 times. I'm not hating, man. Like, MMA is for real, and God knows I've been submitted more than 11 times, but 11 heel hooks? Like, if Brock Lesnar got, like, you know, submitted by Frank Mir, you know, on his ankle, and then got submitted 4 more times that way, you know, I mean, come on. Brock Lesnar's
pretty
cool.
Right. You got to change something.
Yeah, something's not working, like, for Frank. I don't know what it was about that rear naked choke, man, but I imagine just from this conversation, maybe we could solve it. I think we should help him.
Said,
we should start a go.
He even said it,
fun.
Too. He was like, he said, what's his name, Matt Hughes. He just can't beat him. No matter how hard he tries, he just can't beat him.
There are always those people. You know, we kind of have a new age version of it in I'm going to get like 800 pieces of hate mail for this, but I think Weidman and Silva are kind of the same way. It's like,
yep.
Silva's like, Silva's amazing, but I think Weidman would win this fight like 7, 8 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
No matter
same
what.
Thing, it's the same thing like, what's his name? Fedor and what's that American wrestler name? What was his name?
He
was a wrestler.
Man, they fought like 3 times. Kevin Randall.
It was his hammer. What was his name? Hammer. Mark the Hammer Coleman.
That's it, old Mark
Remember,
Coleman.
Yeah, Mark Coleman. He beat him every time with the same move, armbar.
Mm-hmm. Mark Coleman. I like Mark Coleman because every time I think of him, all I can remember is the fact that he fought MMA with shoes on a long time.
Yeah.
Man, that's how you know you've been fighting MMA a while.
Yeah, he wore shoes. Yeah, he did. And he was kind of upset the second time he had to fight Fedor because he couldn't wear his shoes.
Oh, man, he's been upset a couple times. You can go on YouTube, and you could just type in Mark Coleman mad and watch a lot of tape.
Dude, do you see how mad he was when he lost? He's like, oh, God damn it. Knocking down fire. Just knocking shit over.
The one,
just pissed.
The one with Shogun is probably the ultimate. It's probably my favorite ultimate with him. The one where he got mad about the I'm pretty sure it was the Shogun fight. Like somebody had a bone break.
Yeah, he broke Shogun's arm, and he stayed on him. And then the whole shoot box got in there. It was crazy.
Yeah, it got for real, man. Mob Deep, man. That's some of my favorite stuff, man. You know, I can't lie. I love those moments. It's like when
my
old buddy kissed Keith Haring.
Oh man,
that's one of my favorites. He's like, hey, man, I'm not a homosexual. Boom, one punch knockout. Like, why can't you do that in a fight? Where was that when the bell rings? Dang.
I don't know what I would do if that would have happened. Say, if I would have gotten a Howard to kiss me. I don't know what would have happened. I probably would have got banned. I would have been banned from conflict completely. Because I probably would have swung on him. Then I would have swung on the referee. It would have been like a Takanori Gomi fight. Remember the fight when he knocked out that Brazilian guy and he just kept on swinging?
You just got to keep on fighting, bro. Yeah, I care. I know what you're talking about. You just got to keep on going sometimes.
I've been fighting to the parking lot.
I don't even know what would happen. Like, that's such a crazy thought. Because, like, I think about stuff even on a smaller scale. Like, man, I wonder what's going to happen because I know this guy's really hardcore, but I know this guy likes to, like, put his face all up in people's face. Or do this and that during weigh-ins. And I'm talking about local. I'm not talking about seeing it on TV. I'm talking about literally, I know I'm going to be in between these guys when this dude's going to put on a mask and flick his tongue. And this dude right here goes hard and has like a rap sheet, a legit police rap sheet. Like, but no one's told to do with the mask because they don't want to. And I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be so crazy. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine a kiss.
Hey,
like a smooth.
What if it was Kimbo Slice that the guy kissed?
What if Kimbo Slice kissed you? That seems
even
worse.
Man. That's even worse. It would have been some WWE thing. I would have went up underneath the cage and grabbed a chair or something.
Dude, I'm telling you. If Kimbo Slice, you would catch a case and probably a STD at the same time. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Terry, I'm being so rude today on the show. It's great.
Oh, man.
It's good times, man.
I don't think you want to go to Florida.
Yeah. You know what's crazy is he's actually opening. There's a gym right here in Charleston where I'm at in like 2 or 3 weeks. There's a gym that I'm in, I've been spreading the word about. Got a lot of homies going. ATT Low Country. And this dude is going to be there. He's going to be there for a couple of days, and I'm going to be in the same building, too. I guarantee he's going to walk up to me like, hey, cuz, hey, family, hey, I heard that show and shit, cuz, you need a kiss or something like that? Like, oh, God. I'll be like, kid.
Dude, I'm
like, I didn't realize you were 7'8". I was like, listen, I subscribed to your YouTube channel. I didn't realize you were 7'12" in real life, and I'm so sorry. I don't know, man. I might take him on. I ain't going to lie. Right now, I'd be like, all right, well, I know how that basic takedown works. I might could take him on.
Ken Shamrock might take him out, so you won't have to worry about him.
I'm saying, man, like, Kimbo's come a long way from the days of, like, punching. I remember when he uppercutted the dreads. I never seen 4 feet of dreads go straight vertical in my life.
Dude,
like,
I remember watching that in high school.
Punching.
Oh,
that's where he fought the two
nasty
dudes at the same time. He fought to the big dude. He fought like the big Mexican dude and his friend at the same time.
Yeah, he fought the black guy with the afro. He hit him And the guy got down. He was like, man, I don't want to fight no more.
Hey, man, I'm straight. I'm going to do that, too. I'm going to be Kimbo and just say that. Like, I'm going to just lay down and be like, I'm good. I heard this works. I saw it in the video. Oh, I'm good. I'm straight.
I'm good. I'm good.
Man,
I got a question, though.
What?
I got one last question. Did you ever heard of, a guy named Dada 5000?
A guy named what?
Dada 5000.
Man, no, I haven't,
I feel like I need to now. Yeah, I was watching him on it was Netflix. He's a street fighter also. I remember he challenged Kimbo Slice after he got in the cage. Anyway, look him up and see. But I think Kimbo will just destroy him. But just look it up.
I'm pretty interested in this fight he's got coming up, man. Because all right, normally my brain would say, all right, well, Kimbo Slice is just going to knock Ken Shamrock out. That's just what my brain tells me at first. But then I see pictures of Ken Shamrock, and I'm like, well, he's obviously either taking this seriously or at least paying to seem like he's taking it seriously. Yeah, I was like, yeah, at least he's sort of paying to look this good. Like, one of the two, right? But at least he cares. I mean, it's not like Tank Abbott showing up like, F this, yo, check, I don't care. So, I'm a little more excited about it than I was initially, And I think Kimbo, he's got this ATT thing going on. So, at first I was like, oh, this is going to be a sideshow train wreck. But the more that I see it, the more it gets close, I can't lie, I'm probably going to watch it.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch. I'll make sure. I might be at the gym while they fight, because I got a DVR, but I'm going to watch it.
I'm with that. See, I like how you stay true to the principles, but you handle game. I like that, man. And every day, we're getting a little closer to the 25th of July. We're going to have some late month fireworks here in the Mimager Auditorium, man. Conflict 29 is going to be going down, dude. As always, man, I'd like to take a moment to sort of, give a guest a free time to mention anything you want to mention or whatever it is you want to say. Maybe you got some family out there, people you want to thank that are helping you train, fight camps. Somebody you hate, maybe ex-girlfriend you want to tell a dirty secret about. I don't care. Whatever it is, man, the floor is yours, man. We love to hear what you got on your mind.
All I got to say is just prepare for fireworks again. No matter where it goes, it's going to be a war. If we're fighting on the ground, we're standing up, and it's going to be a war. I'll make sure I give you all your money's worth. And with me personally, at my stage of my career right now, I don't care if I lose. My biggest fear is to go in there and fight and people just start booing because it's a boring fight. I want to see action. No matter what happens, I want action to happen.
And I think that's guaranteed here, man. We saw it the first time when we saw you. And, we've seen David bring the action as well. So I don't see any way, when you rub sticks together, you get fire, son. And that's how I feel about this fight. And I'm so, so excited about this match, man. And are you coming to conflict again, man? Hell yeah, me too, man. I was trying not to see you had to go there. I was trying not even to talk about it because we don't got 6 hours. But hell yeah, me too, man. This card is amazing. It's one of, hands down, to be honest with you, man, just from the time I spent with conflict and the history I know from, being with them and knowing their history before I got with them, this is definitely, and this is not an opinion, this is definitely one of the greatest MMA cards that they have put on, and I would, without a doubt, put my professional, whatever you want to call it, my resume, my reputation on the line as saying that this is one of the best cards that any promotion on this level, below it, or right above it have put on in a while when it comes to these people who are doing work in the region, man. Just for real, this card is serious, man. And I'm not saying that because they put money in my pocket. Trust me, it ain't that much.
I'm personally glad that I'm the second fight so I can be a spectator.
Me too. The only reason that I do this job at all is so I can sit cage side. For this one fight, I've been doing this for a year in advance so that I knew I could be there on the 25th. I'm telling you. Man, listen, I had a great time talking with you, man. We covered some awesome topics today. Joseph the Korean, we talked about King smashing it. We talked about We learned some valuable racial lessons today. Never just read the paper and make an assumption. Always check in so you're not surprised. And we also learned that
Mitch, he's
going to
kick my ass at the gym tomorrow. He's going to kick my ass at the gym tomorrow.
So beautiful. That's the most beautiful thing. It's a great. Oh, man. I appreciate having you on the show, man. It's been amazing. And I'm going to look him up. I'm not playing. Joseph the Korean Wrestler. That is badass. That's like me being like, my friend Thomas, the gay black Republican, is. What is all that? What is going on? That's a good mix. We need more Americans to do this. Break the stereotypes. That's what we're about on the fucking show, man. Break the mold, baby. I want to meet Travis, the Mexican Sambo fighter. Bring him on. Wait. That's a lot of combinations. Just keep it flowing, man. I had a great time, Devin, man. And listen, July 25th is going to be even more exciting. And thank you so much for the fight that's coming and for the time tonight, man. When we get closer to fight night, you know we're going to get together again on another episode of this show, my friend. And I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. No doubt, man. Listen, we got a few minutes out, so I'm going to get some of this other stuff out of the way, man. I'm going to talk a little bit about this ATT, but I appreciate you coming on, man. You have a great night. Stay in the gym, man, and I look forward to all the action, and we'll get some great questions and a good time in at weigh-ins on the night before, man.
Okay.
All right. Absolutely, all right, man. I appreciate it.
All right. God bless, man.
That's it. Absolutely, man. Everybody, that's Devin Richmond, man. What a great conversation we just had, guys. Conflict 29, July 25th, in case you missed it, man. You can go to conflictmma.com or go on Facebook, type in Conflict MMA, get those tickets. I'm telling you, them babies are on that Willy Wonka status, man. Hey, listen, even if you're a local scalper, buy some tickets. I don't even know if there are still any, but buy some tickets and just hold on to them, man. You can sell them for like thousands of dollars. You could trade them for live children, cars, your favorite drugs. I mean, what a show today. Whatever you want, it don't matter. Listen, I've got an awesome meal in front of me sitting here just getting cold. So I'm going to tell you this. The last thing, man, I talked to you about Source Summit at the beginning. Right here at the end, ATT Low Country, man, opening up this July. That's on 1850 Wallace School Road right here in Charleston. I'm going to have a lot of top-tier talent from UFC, Bellator, Legacy. I could go on and on, man. Right down here on the local scene with guys here that fight for ATT. It's going to be a great thing for this area and really going to bump up the competition and the growth of the sport here in the Southeast. And join, go shoulder to shoulder with a lot of these other amazing gyms we got out here. So make sure to check them out on Facebook and online, man. Malachi Friedman, catch up with him. They're doing really, really great things. Can't say enough about the influence that I feel they're going to bring to Charleston and the surrounding area. So make sure to check that out. You can go to attlowcountry.com, I believe, to keep up with them and get the information more as far as Conflict. You got that, man. Looks like I got you covered. UFC 188 is going down, and I would have to agree, in the words of Devin Richmond, Cain Velasquez is going to smash, and we're going to smash up out of here. I'm going to leave you with some good jams. I got it playing a little bit earlier. It's one of my favorite songs to play on the show. I had it bumping a little too quietly. I know Devin Richmond didn't get his song played. I have no idea what it is. And I'm not trying to make a stereotypical statement by saying, I should just play country music just to throw him off. Anyway, man, War of the Words 113, my song, J. Cole.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I was dreaming about a deal at the age of 13. I was fiending for the meals, I ain't talking Burger King. Some of my niggas in the bill, all they did was surfing. Fuck skills, I had skills all day rehearsing. Them pretty boys had them girls, spent their time flirting. All they wanted was some waves like they fucking surfing. Hold up, now don't get it twisted, I ain't hating, do your thing. I was like a young Simba, couldn't wait to be the king. Now a nigga is the prince. Hopped over the fence where the grass way greener. Look at Shawty ass way meaner. Something like Serena mixed with Trina, have you seen her? She fine enough to be Miss Howard, word to Adina. My money like a senior, watch it graduate. Now it's time to eat, I'm letting all my niggas grab a plate. Gravitate the real shit, stay away from phonies. These niggas heard about me, now they acting like they know me. Keep on saying, where you going, nigga? Shit, it ain't no telling. Yeah. Hey, where you going, nigga? Hey. It ain't no telling. Yeah, they keep on saying, where you going, nigga? Gone, nigga. Hey, it ain't no telling. Yeah, can't tell you where I'm going. No, I won't stop. Goodbye to the bottom, hello to the top. Pardon the interruption. A proper introduction is necessary when your shit is legendary, man. Greedy niggas wouldn't let me in the cafeteria, cause they ain't believe. Suddenly they Presbyterian. The hoes is librarians, they looking me up. She got a Jones like Marion, she licking me up. Then we cut, look how she say my name. I got a moaning J. Cole, they used to say Jermaine. I never changed, I'm like a corpse in a coffin, 6 feet, shit deep. I was low, just a dollar and some hope, fix me. Cause I was broke, plus the weed that I would smoke would make it worse. Lord, please let my problems disappear like Ron Mercer. I'm a star, converses, conversing with them girls with them curves like cursive. They open like curtains, cause my shit is unheard of like curses on the radio. Same bitches used to play me though, now they yelling, where you going, nigga? Shit, it ain't no telling. Yeah, hey, where you going, nigga? Shit, it ain't no telling. Yeah, they keep on saying, where you going, nigga? Gone, nigga. It ain't no telling. Yeah, I can't tell you where I'm going. No, I won't stop. Goodbye to the bottom. Yeah, hello to the top. I left the city for a minute, but it's still on my back. Told my niggas, hey, I'm finna put the bill on the mat. I'll be back, and I'm coming with a deal and a plaque. Cause I'm ill, bitch, they couldn't make a pill for the rat. Pouring liquor for my niggas that was killed in the back. Came home, shit is real, niggas still in the trap. Hold up, now don't get it twisted. If you slang, do your thing. Me, I'm like a young Simba, I can't wait to be the king. Witness the drink, straight out that Carolina water. I was brought up in the city where the skinny niggas trying to be the ballers. Ain't no fathers, but the skinny niggas trying to hit their daughters. Sneaking in the crib, but a mama never caught us. What they taught us, man, them bad bitches only want the ballers, the starters. We hooping now, the hoes want to guard us. Okay, so play deep, know what I mean? And I put you on the team, man. This life is but a dream, and I need a fast car. Bad bras, fast forward, passport. I'm a fucking rap star. Hey, where you going, nigga? It ain't no telling. Yeah, they say this life is but a dream. Well, I need a fast car. Bad bro, fast forward, passport. I'm a fucking rap star. Hey, where you going, nigga? Yeah, it ain't no telling.